Yep, off they go. Okay, so we have a reading today. It's quite a long reading, and Pastor Mark has asked me to read this. He's been really sitting with this for a while. It's come up in staff meetings a fair bit. He's really been meditating on it, and that's where his sermon is coming from today. So I'm going to read that for you. It comes from Acts chapter 20, and we're going to start at verse 16. Paul had decided to sail on past Ephesus, for he didn't want to spend any more time in the province of Asia. He was hurrying to get to Jerusalem, if possible, in time for the festival of Pentecost. But when he landed at Miletus, he sent a message to the elders of the church at Ephesus, asking if they could come and meet with him. When they arrived, he declared, "You know that from the day I set foot in the province of Asia until now, I have done the Lord's work humbly and with many tears. I have endured the trials that come to me from the plots of the Jews. I never shrank back from telling you what you needed to hear, either publicly or in your own homes. I have had one message for Jews and Greeks alike, the necessity of repenting from sin and turning to God, and of having faith in our Lord Jesus. And now I am bound by the Spirit to go to Jerusalem. I don't know what awaits me, except that the Holy Spirit tells me in city after city that jail and suffering lie ahead. But my life is worth nothing to me unless I use it for finishing the work assigned to me by the Lord Jesus, the work of telling others the good news about the wonderful grace of God. And I know that none of you to whom I have preached the kingdom will ever see me again. I declare today that I have been faithful. If anyone suffers eternal death, it's not my fault, for I didn't shrink from declaring all that God wants for you to know. So guard yourselves and God's people free. Feed and shepherd God's flock, his church, purchased with his own blood, over which the Holy Spirit has appointed you as leaders. I know that false teachers like vicious wolves will come in among you after I leave, not sparing the flock. Even some men from your own group will rise and distort the truth in order to draw a following. Watch out. Remember the 3 years I was with you, my constant watch and care over you night and day, and my many tears for you. And now I entrust you to God and to the message of his grace that is able to build you up and give you an inheritance with all those he has set apart for himself. I have never coveted anyone's silver or gold or fine clothes. You know that these hands of mine have worked to supply my own needs and even the needs of those who were with me. And I have been a constant example of how you can help those in need by working hard. You should remember the words of the Lord Jesus. It is more blessed to give than to receive." When he had finished speaking, he knelt and prayed with them. They all cried and embraced and kissed him goodbye. They were sad most of all because he had said that he would never see them again. Then they escorted him down to the ship.
So Shell and I had a little bit of a discussion about whether I should bring a message to the last Sunday, and I'm starting to regret my insistence that I would bring something to say at the end, obviously highly emotional for Melinda and myself. And there's a lot of emotions in the room, and I just want to recognise those, because for some of you, and it's okay, that for some of you there's a sense of disappointment. And for some of you there's a sense of, we haven't been here that long, we wish you would stay longer. And is it really, you know, God's will that you move on? Everything is so good and we really love you here. And I just want to say that it's okay that you have that feeling, and I'm actually okay with that, and with the people that have expressed that or not wanted to say that, it's okay. Because part of me is quite sorry, a lot of me and Melinda is very sorry to be leaving, and sorry for any grief or anyone being upset that we are going. But that's the journey of not many pastors, in fact, truly not many pastors get to leave a church well. So very often it's not a good story, and it's a sad story in some ways. But this story is truly one of an end of a season where God is truly calling us out. And we all have to accept that. It's part of what I say a lot, which is God is good and he has good things for you all, and he has good things for this church. I am so very glad that Michael... apparently I'm the only one in his life that calls him Michael. So I'm really glad that Pastor Mike is here. He has been a very good friend for close to 30 years, and he will hold this church really well. I encourage you to stay and to see what God is going to do next. It would be very exciting. I'm absolutely convinced that God is not only moving us on for our sake, but also for your sake. And I say that with the greatest of just sincerity, humility, and just reality, is this church needs something new, and this church needs another pastor, and that pastor will guide you into the next season and what it is that God has for you. It's good for you that I go, and you may not feel that way, but it is the truth. And for Melinda and myself, we're really happy with the fact that when we started this whole process, we had nowhere to go to. So it's not as though we're going to somewhere better. In fact, as I've looked around and looked at different churches, I'm thinking, what on earth am I doing? I have to start again and go through a whole heap of stuff, and don't they know how church should be? This church is as I always dreamed and imagined and wanted it to be. And that's great for me and for the culture of this place, but of course you do need something fresh and new and different that is not me and not Mark 2.0, but whatever it is that the fresh wind of the Spirit brings is what you're going to need for that next part of your season, for the next part of this church life. And so we still actually have nothing confirmed. I'm sure you'll find out soon enough when something is confirmed, and you might look on with curiosity. And of course, we will look back with curiosity, but we won't look back too soon, because for us it's very painful because we're leaving. And I do understand that, you know, when you are someone that's implementing change, it's a lot easier to implement change. It's harder for many of you that we have made the choice to leave than what it is for us to make the choice to leave. If you're the person instituting the change, you feel empowered, you feel like this is right. But if you're the one that's suffering, if you like, under that, it's hard. So I just recognise that as well. You know, one of the things about me is that I love music. Some people here like music. Some people who are a little bit weird don't like music at all. But there's some of us who love music. And I love music. There's something about it which moves me in all different embarrassing and awkward ways. But nonetheless, I do love music. And so I was asked by someone whose musicianship and whose skill I greatly respect, and that's our music person, Ben Humphreys. He asked me once what music I was listening to or what I liked, and I was way too embarrassed to tell him, because I didn't think that my music choice would actually match up to what, you know, his skill level or anything he likes is. So this morning I'm going to answer that question at the benefit of my own embarrassment to some of you. And I'm not talking about Miley Cyrus, I'm not talking about Katy Perry or Vera Blue or any of the other singers, but I'm going to go a little bit back to a group called The Bangles. Does anyone remember The Bangles? Okay, we've got some long, fluffy-haired 80s people here this morning. The Bangles were one of the fantastic groups back in the 80s. They did a cover once of a song that written by Simon and Garfunkel, and I want to say their cover is one of the best covers and far better than the original by Simon and Garfunkel. And the song that they did, which they never actually had on a studio album, it was part of a movie, was a song that Simon and Garfunkel wrote, Time and Remember Me. And seasons in life and in your life have come and they have gone. And this little song that you might go home and play and turn up loud when you get home might just be a reminder that we all have seasons, and those seasons come and those seasons go. The Apostle Paul wrote the passage of Scripture, and he wrote it to a group of people that he had only been ministering to for 3 years. Lightweight. Lightweight, the Apostle Paul. 3 years, what a pathetic effort put in by the apostle. I think about what an incredible person he was and the books that he wrote, and I cannot compare myself to him even for a skerrick of a moment, but I do see what he wrote in those words as he gathered those people together that he had loved and that he had loved so much. And I think about all the people that have come and gone in the life of this church. And I think about how many people would be in this building if all the people that had been to this church had not left and not gone. But there's one particular photo as they went through those photos the other night, and I thought about all the different fashion styles of Pastor Mark and the fluctuating weight of Pastor Mark as well over the years. And there was one particular photo, and I want to say that it's a photo that truly sums up what I have enjoyed about taking this church from what it was to what it is now. And I've got the photo on the screen right now. Now, you don't all know the story of this photo, but I want to tell you. So here is Luch and Paul Willis, and you may notice the what's on their feet. I put on Facebook this incredibly inerrant statement that UGG boots should never be worn in public. An UGG boot is basically a smelly sock. And people don't wear socks with UGG boots, and you sweat in them. They are the most disgusting thing, aren't they, Melinda? And we hate UGG boots. And I put this on Facebook, and these two decided that, just like women, they would compare fashion notes before they came to church the next day. And so they both wore UGG boots to church that next day, just to absolutely give it to me, didn't they, Luch? And I just thought, you know, I look at this photo and I think, this is good. This is life. This is me teasing someone mercilessly, but they giving it straight back and making the point. And I love that. And I love the humanity of that. And I love how we're authentic as a church. And we take things that are serious, but we don't take ourselves too seriously. Because seasons come and seasons go. And people come and people go. One of the couples that taught me a lot, and I can't possibly mention everyone, and I won't be, but there was a couple called Stan and Eileen Gilchrist, and they were part of Bedford Baptist. They had come over from the church that was the Romanian church actually took over their building. They'd come over from this church. And they were now part of Bedford Baptist Church. And they were quite a senior old couple. And they said to me once, "Mark, we want you to be in this church long enough to do our funerals. To do the funeral of Stan, the funeral of Eileen." And that was the first time I've ever heard that. And I was quite taken aback. But of course, they had been through change. Their church had basically collapsed, if you like, and they had been brought into Bedford Baptist. They felt a bit out of place. But they needed to be in church, so they came to Bedford Baptist, and there they were. And as they told me their story, it was just a stark reminder to me to never judge people based on how you first see them. And it was also a great reminder to me to actually have faith in people, that people will actually do better than what you could expect. So often we feel like we've been hurt in the past and things have happened to us. And so we react out of that hurt and you react out of that pain. But they told me the story, because this was a couple that I really didn't have any idea. And I want to tell you their story, particularly the story of Stan. Because people will surprise you in their goodness, and they will surprise you in what they're willing to do for God and actually their heart, if you get down deep enough. And Stan told me the story. And Stan told me, before 1972, does anyone know what was built in 1972? I bet you don't. Garrett Road Bridge was built in 1972. So before that, there was no bridge. And so Stan, this guy that wanted me to do his funeral when he passed away, he told me about how he was a Sunday school teacher back in the day, pre-1972. And he was really, and his wife, Eileen, said he was loved by the kids. The kids love Stan. And I thought how important it is that men are involved in the spiritual bringing up of children. We all know women are really important in that role, but I thought at that moment how important it is that men have been involved and are involved in teaching children about Jesus. The kids love Stan. So one day there was a Sunday school picnic down there by the down there on the riverbank, and Stan swam across the river because there was no bridge. Got a couple of watermelons under his arm, and I don't know how he did it, maybe they're flotation devices. And he swam back across the river and brought watermelons to the kids for the Sunday school picnic. And I thought, I never knew that about you, Stan. You have surprised me. And people continue to surprise me with their goodness and with their love for Jesus if you scratch deep enough and if you get beyond all the other stuff. And so our journey here has been marked by many different things. Some people have loved me, and some people have not liked us, and some people have been really difficult to deal with and and all the rest, and you know some of those stories. But at their heart, I believe God has brought many good people to this church, and you are good if we scratch down and if we get down deep enough. There's many good things and good things here. Next slide. Thank you. I think we've got a scripture. Paul says this, "I declare today that I've been faithful. If anyone suffers eternal death, it's not my fault. For I didn't shrink back from declaring all that God wants you to know." Paul was a far better leader, missionary person, and he was far more significant than what I will ever be. I've had to deal with issues around my own significance. I always wanted a really large church. That was never to be my anointing, my skill, my strategy, whatever it was, that was not to be our story. And God has shown me, even in the last few days, what my story is and what my story has been and how I've seen other people go out and seen lots of different things happen. And I'm really happy with who I am. And I'm really happy with what God's called me to. And I'm really happy with what I've done. And I'm really happy with what I've been faithful in. I'm incredibly grateful to a church that took a chance on me all those years ago and has seen me flourish and grow and do what God has asked me to do. Not what I thought I wanted to do, but what God has called me to do. And that's flowed out of who I am and how he has made me. I'm highly relational and I love people, and I've learned that about myself. I never thought that I did like people, but actually I do love people. Someone said to me, "Mark, you're very pastoral." I'm like, "Really? Am I?" And they said, "Yeah, you really are." I thought, okay, I am. I've learned a lot of stuff about myself. One thing I've learned when I went to see a psychologist, if you need help, go see a psychologist, go see a counsellor, get help. I've learned that I needed that. And a very good friend told me that one day, and I finally listened to them. I went and saw a psych. And my psych, who was a lapsed Catholic, didn't believe in God by her own admission, told me one of the most prophetic and clear words from God that I've ever had in my life, without even knowing she was giving it. And she said to me, "You know those people that leave your church? It's not about you. God has done something in their life and then he's moved them on and he wants to do something else in their life somewhere else." And I drove away from that meeting thinking, I'm so dumb. Why did I not know that before? And why did it take this psychologist to tell me that? But it was like a burden had been lifted off my heart. It's not about me and it's not about you. It's about Jesus. And what Paul says here in this passage is, I'm free because I've done what I could do. It's not my fault. It's the Holy Spirit. Some of you have not changed, really. This is a hard word, right? But it's true. Some haven't changed very much. It's not my fault. I did my best. I preached. The Holy Spirit moves. Some of you have changed a lot. Awesome. I didn't change you. The Holy Spirit changed you. God worked in your life. You said yes to Jesus at that point in your life. And you've got a challenge now because the familiar humor and jokes of Pastor Mark is moving on. And I hope you've heard the voice of the Holy Spirit somewhere in there. And I hope you continue to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. And you need to make good choices and continue to make good choices. I have regrets about some things, as I've said a couple of times, but I do. I have regrets about times when, unlike this boisterous Apostle Paul, who just was rude and told everyone the truth. You know, that's what he did if you look at what he did. I'm not like that. There have been times I've shirked back and I regret that. But it's not my fault. You have an obligation to choose Jesus for yourself. To say yes to Jesus at every point in your own life. And I pray and I hope you do. And I pray and I hope that something that I'm particularly proud of in this church is that we are a quirky, unique, authentic group of people that have seen other people come into our church that have been hurt and wounded,
and they have found a safe church here. This has been a safe place for young leaders to grow and learn and become what they can be. This has not been a place where pastors have been, not for a long time at least. Pastors have been abused and used and all those sort of things. It's not been a place where people with all different ethnic backgrounds and religious backgrounds and places and mistakes they've made, big mistakes they've made, they've able to come here and say, you know what, we're all in this thing together. This is the best thing about this church, is the fact that we welcome home the lost. And I pray that you will all continue to do that. And you'll continue to pray for us. So all in all, just to finish, thank you for allowing me to be your pastor.